Welcome to Brothers Less Grim. I am Jeff, with me is Mark.
Hello.
And if you like frogs, then you are in the right place. On every episode of our show, we improvise one story. We do this by playing the card game Once Upon a Time. Important to note, we play with our own set of house rules. If you want to know exactly what those are, I'd recommend you go back and listen to episode zero. Today, we have a really funny story about a real estate agent looking to make her first sale. Lots of great moments in this one, so please sit back, relax, and enjoy The Kinda Haunted House.
We have a bubbly real estate agent who is kind of new to the game, but really excited, but also a little nervous. Because she's just been handed her very first listing as a full-fledged real estate agent. And it's for a house that's in a swamp. So, not a great location, but she's still as chipper as ever. And right now, she is putting together, she's at the house taking pictures. And getting ready and thinking about, what are the good parts of this house and how am I going to sell it? Over to you.
So the house is honestly in a mild state of disrepair. The owners of this house, they have not lived in the house for a long time. They have another property elsewhere. And, you know, they always sort of had the dream of renovating this house and turning it into a really cool vacation home that they could use. And then upon, you know, looking at Google Maps, they eventually realized that it was just oh so slightly too far away from New Orleans for them to really want to use it as a vacation home, because they'd much rather just go to New Orleans and not have to do that commute. So they just kind of sat on the house for a while, kind of forgetting that it was there until, you know, one day their accountant is just like, hey, like, what's up with this house that you guys have been paying property taxes for but never really seem to talk about?
I tried looking it up on Google Maps, and, like, you know how you can, like, drive by and get pictures? It didn't go out that far. Google Maps didn't go there.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of far from anything that you'd want it to be at. But yeah, you're right. We should sell that house finally. Like, we're never going to renovate it. We're never going to use it. We should offload that asset. So let's try to sell it. So that's when the real estate agent Debbie gets to the house, she finds that it is not in great condition. She's really going to have to, like, use her best sales skills to get this house sold. And she's taking some good photos. She goes inside and she's very excited to say that the house has good bones. Like, there's going to be a beautiful home inside this sort of, you know, less than ideal structure. And she's walking around, and upstairs she hears some footprints, or footprints. She hears some footsteps.
She hears footprints. Oh, man, she's good.
She hears some footsteps.
Okay.
And she's like, what is that? And she goes up and opens the door to a bedroom, and she sees in the bedroom a child. And I'll pass it to you there.
Okay. So she sees a child, and he's like this scruffy little, like, very young, just kind of a little ragamuffin who's just been hiding out in this house and living off swamp rats. And it's been, like, boiling his water and stuff. And he's just a little survivalist who has been out here. So Debbie is like, Whoa, no, what are you doing here, young boy? Do you live here? And then she gets all those details and, like, figures out, like, oh, he's been living out here for quite a while. And she's like, okay, well, why don't you come with me? We'll take you to the child Protective Services or something. And we will go ahead and take care of you right away. You can't be living here. The child doesn't want to go. He screams and resists when Debbie tries to take my hand, and he hops out of this the second story window and runs along the roof, and he just kind of Debbie pokes her head out and is like, "Hey, come on back! Don't be careful! Be careful!" And he's like, "Never! This is my house. I live here. Squatter's rights. Over to you."
And she's just like, "No, like, listen, just come off the roof, little boy. Like, what's your name?" And he just yells, "Squatter rights!" one more time, and then like slides down the rain pipe.
I'm kind of rooting for him.
And then she's just like, and then she just watches him run into the swamp.
Huzzah!
And Debbie's just like, I don't know what to do here. So she pulls out her phone because she wants to call her boss and explain the situation and get some feedback on what's happening. And she opens up her. She flips open her phone and
flips it open. There's indicative of the time, perhaps, but perhaps not.
Mm-hmm. And she sees that she's got no service.
Yeah, they're pretty far out there.
And she's like, "Damn it!" And she decides to continue. She's taking photos with her digital camera because she wouldn't be taking photos with her flip phone.
Unless it's a fancy new one that's like coming out these days in like
the 2022. I mean, they got Google Maps, so like I think like there's maybe, I'm not sure if it's the times or if it's
right. I don't know when that was along. I think it could be like T-Mobile Sidekick era. You know, you remember that phone?
No,
it was all the rage when I was a junior in high school. It's like this flip phone that like it like spins. It doesn't open like a regular flip phone.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
It was pretty good for texting.
I had something like that. Not like I had one that would slide open longwise to have a full keyboard, and then other than that was just like almost like a track phone.
Hmm. I think I can picture that. Yeah, that was a lot like the one that I was describing, except there's an extra like spinny motion, I think. Sidekick did. I get why it appealed to high schoolers.
And I like the idea of Debbie like having that phone.
Okay.
And like she got it when she was in high school, and now times have moved on, but she has not.
Yeah. The iPhone has come out now.
But she's like psyched on her T-Mobile Sidekick,
which doesn't have a great camera.
No, so she has to have a digital camera, and she splurged on that, you know. Like it's important for her job that she's able to get good photos, and so she got a good camera. And then if she takes it on vacations and takes good photos there too, that's just a bonus. But it's mostly for work.
She likes sunset pictures.
Yeah, she really wants to go out to the West Coast and like get some sunset photos over the ocean. But that's further down the line. Right now she needs to get her Louisiana real estate career off the ground, and then she can think about that trip to Oregon that she's always wanted to take.
And I think priority number one is
figuring out what to do with this kid. Because she can't sell the house if there's a swamp kid living in it.
It's like a tiny especially little Yoda running around out here. That's
it's terrible. So she finishes it, and then, like every so often, like she's glancing out, seeing the kid's coming back to the house, and no sign of the kid. And she starts to head back to her car, and is just like, "All right, swamp boy, just want you to know I'll be back. I am selling this house, so you won't be able to live here for much longer. Also, I feel like I should contact Child Protective Services. So I'm just letting you know that's what I'm gonna do when I get into service. So be safe. Bye. I don't know what to say. And then she gets in the car. She says that out loud, and then puts it into gear and then starts driving on the dirt road back to paved roads. And I'll pass it to you there.
So she goes back to her office and goes to her boss and just wants to inform her boss. Stevenson, about this child. So she goes up to him and is like, hey, I just want to let you know there was like a kid living in the swamp house. They would call it, I'm going to call it the, Penny House.
Is that the last name of the, owners, or is that like the name of the house?
It could be name of the owners. It could be the name of the street. We'll say it's the name of the owners.
Okay.
It's the Penny House. Okay. So that there was like a child squatting there. Like it's like haunted, but by a living child.
That is terrifying to Stevenson.
Yeah.
My wife wants to have kids soon. I am not ready.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you have it, then like, you'll be okay. Like this one, like I went up to it and I was like, hey, what's going on? And it told me that it was living there. He told me he was living there. And I was like, oh man, you can't do this. I'm going to help you. And then he ran out under the roof and then he jumped from the roof to a vine or like a, I don't know what it was. It looked a little Tarzan-esque. He ended up like on a tree and then he disappeared. He like shimmied down the tree and he ran off into the swamp.
Are you sure that that's what happened? Like, that sounds crazy.
I'm telling you that it was crazy. Yeah, I agree with you.
Did you get like photo of it on your, any photos of it on your iPhone?
I got some great photos of the property, but I didn't get any photos of the child.
Not even like, okay.
The child is real. I'm not suggesting that it's an actual supernatural ghost. I'm just comparing what I experienced with this living creature to seeing a ghost.
Do you think if we sell it like the house is haunted by a child?
I really don't think we've seen the last of him. Yeah.
More listings? Why not make more interest? Because.
Wait, sorry. What was that?
Like if we say that the house, the Penny House, is haunted.
Oh, you think that could be an angle?
Yeah, to sell it. What do you think?
I think if I was buying a house, I wouldn't be more likely to buy it if somebody told me that it was haunted, whether the ghost was supernatural or not. Like, haunted, I think, is a negative thing for houses and selling them. I mean, I guess there might be some people who are like, oh man, like, I went to Disneyland and went on the Haunted Mansion ride, and that's like set in New Orleans, so now I want to visit New Orleans, and here's this haunted. Maybe there's someone who's like into the idea of buying a haunted house in the swamps outside New Orleans.
So we shouldn't necessarily not do it.
This is my first listing. So like, if you think that it would be better, to go with the haunted angle, then, we should do it. Do you actually think it would be better to sell it as a haunted house?
Maybe. I think I think it's a distinct possibility. I think, you know, maybe, let me put it this way. We could always say that the house is haunted later, but we can't like take it back once we say the house is haunted. You know?
So we don't say it's haunted now.
But we just keep it in mind, you know, just in case.
Should we?
Because like I could see some buyers being like, hey, but when you show the house to some buyers and be like, hey, by the way, there's this child squatter who we need to take care of. That might push more clients away than saying, hey, there's this child ghost that lives here.
So you want to tell people that it is a supernatural child ghost?
I'm talking myself into
it. I guess, yeah. I mean, if thinking about it from my perspective, if I was buying a house and there were two identical houses and one was haunted by a supernatural child and one was haunted by a living child, I think it'd be close. I would feel like I was more capable of getting rid of the regular child. So I still might go with that, but you know, maybe other people have different preferences and I'm totally fine with that. So, you know what? I'm going to put together these photos. Do you think I should call CPS for the swamp kid? Maybe just put it on their radar.
Yeah, you should. I was considering saying you shouldn't, but, you know, you should. But maybe you shouldn't, just because, like, maybe this kid could be a real angle on this house that, I'll be honest, is going to be a hard sell, even at the best of times. Ghost kid, you might get some very specific buyers. But morally speaking, calling CPS is the correct thing. We should do that. Yeah, we should. I'm talking myself into it. We should do that.
Okay. I'm going to go to my office. I'm going to make that call.
Cool.
Great. So she goes to her office and she opens her door, and under the threshold, a little letter, I'm going to say it's like a Hallmark card, has been slid under the door, and she opens it up and it says, in child's handwriting, don't call CPS. Over to you.
She's like, how did the kid get that? What? Wait. Is it a ghost kid?
I'm starting to wonder if it might be a ghost kid. Usually there's more ectoplasm. Or that's what I would expect, but maybe I don't know how ghosts work.
And she sits at her desk and she opens up she turns on the computer, gets the number for CPS, looks at the, you said it was a postcard?
Hallmark card. I didn't describe what is on the front, but it's like a greeting card that you would buy or something, or a holiday card. Or
I'm imagining one that's got like a doghouse joke on it.
For men who have been sleeping on the couch for the past 2 weeks or something. Where's that Hallmark card? I don't know who that would be for. I guess the guy apologizing to the girl.
I'm tired of the doghouse. There's no central heating. I'm sorry for what I did. Hopefully your anger is fleeting. Don't call CPS.
Couch cushions are red. I'm feeling blue. I got this greeting card just for you. Something like that. Something. One of the two.
She puts down the card and she dials the number to CPS. She's like, I'm calling them. This kid can't be at this house all by himself.
Yeah, I feel like there's no threat here. To me. if I call CPS, so.
So she calls CPS and the person answers, like, Child Protective Services. What do you want? what's going on?
Like, that's just the tone. It reminded me of a 911.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I don't have an emergency. He's like, do people call CPS with emergencies? And the person's just like, the girl's just like, no, they don't really call CPS for emergencies. But I'm practicing because my dream is to move from answering the CPS telephone line to the 911 telephone line, and I just want to like really get that what is your emergency?
Like, if you need a letter, I feel really calm right now.
Do you?
If there was an emergency, I'd be so at ease.
I'm so glad that you said that. I mean, it'd be would it be strange having a letter of rec from just like a random?
I was just gonna say, if you wanted one
person, yeah,
I'd be happy to write a one page recommendation for you.
Wow. That is so nice. I do have an interview at the end of the week.
You need it by the end of the week?
No, I mean, honestly, like, I think with the interviewing process, like, if I'm already here, maybe I don't need a letter of recommendation. But then again, maybe it wouldn't hurt. So if you got the time.
I can do it. Happy to help.
You're the best. Anyway.
You should give me your information because I don't know your name.
Yeah, my name is Carol.
Carol? I mean, that was my grandmother's name.
Really?
Yeah. On my dad's
side.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly had a hard time with Carol because I thought it was a little old fashioned, if I'm being honest, growing up.
Oh, my Nana Carol was such a young spirit. I don't associate the name Carol with old age at all.
Wow. Okay. I mean,
she is a sprightly one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, hopefully I wear the name well then.
I feel like you probably do. I think you do.
Wow. Well, I gotta say, it was really good talking to you, meeting you. Hey, let me give you my email real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's it's Carol.
Carol. Okay.
911.
Okay. I like it.
Because you know, at cps.gov.
Okay. Got it.
Cool. I look forward to reading your letter of recommendation.
I feel like it's going to be two pages. I have so many nice things to say about you. I don't think I'm going to be able to get it down to one.
What was your name?
My name is Debbie.
Debbie.
Took me a second.
It was an honor to meet you.
I feel great. I like wish I was having a heart attack right now because like I'd be so prepared. You know, I'd be like, you'd talk me through it.
You just made my day.
Yeah.
I really hope one day I pick up this phone and it's not some person, you know, that's got some issues with some child. It's instead someone about to have a heart attack needing an ambulance as soon as possible.
I want to be that person. If I have a heart attack, I'm calling you, okay? Calling Carol.
Anyway. Well, wish me luck with the interview.
Good luck to you, yeah. Good luck.
It's nice to meet you, Debbie. Bye.
Bye. I think it's still your turn, so I gotta step back.
Yeah, and as soon as Debbie like realizes that Carol hung up, she's like, wait a second.
You called her. Oh, and now you have a homework assignment. Debbie, you're so chipper.
How did that happen? And then like at that moment, another like postcard or Hallmark card slides under. It's like an Arbor Day theme. It's just like cutting down a tree to make a card. That's not a great way to make a card. It rhymed card with card. This is not as good of a as a Hallmark card.
I feel
card.
Like the Arbor Day cards are never all that good. Because they know it's hypocritical.
And just like, oh, it just says like, please don't call again. I heard the whole thing.
What? He's taping, he's tapped her phone line. Is he in the building? This is like Scream now. This is
that's how she interpreted it. That like he was like on the other side of the door, listening in, and she opens up the door and there's you know, sort of the more general, like there are other real estate people there, and she's like, "What? Did any of you guys see a kid?" And they're just like, "No, I didn't see anything." We were all listening to Steven Stevenson's conversation with his wife. He's talked himself into having a kid. He's the only one who can ever convince himself of anything, it seems.
he does seem to talk himself into things a lot.
Yeah.
That is a character trait of his that I've noticed that will recur for the foreseeable future.
I will pass it to you there.
Okay, I'm going to cut ahead 2 days, and I'm going to say that Debbie is on the phone with the Pennies, and they're saying, "So wait, hold on, you're telling me that you want to sell our house and you want to tell people that it's haunted?" And Debbie is like, "Yes." So, feel like that's the haunted? Best way to go here. Okay. I wasn't sure if you were going to jump in there and which side you were going to be. So, the Pennies, surprisingly okay with it. They're just like, "Okay, I guess maybe somebody from Disneyland or something." And Debbie's like, "That's what I was saying. That's what I was thinking. Like, we might be able to capitalize on that market." And those people, like the people who really go there a lot, you know, they're going to have deep pockets. We're going to get well above asking price. I can feel it. And the Pennies are like, "Wow, this is really exciting. I'm glad that we're your first listing. I'm really excited to see where this goes. So good luck to you, Debbie." And Debbie's like, "Thank you. Thank you. We're going to do our first open house this weekend, so you'll be hearing from me. Talk to you later." "All right, right now." Cool. I'm just going to pass it to you there. They're leaning into the haunted angle.
Mm-hmm. And she goes back to the house. She's getting everything ready for the open house. You know, making sure everything is nice and dusted. And
does she have a snack?
Oh yeah, she's gonna have a snack table. She's of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Various meats and cheeses.
Bottles of water.
Mm-hmm. But like those really
wine?
Short ones.
Wine?
I mean, she does know that like that really is a nice touch, but she also has to like pay for all this out of pocket.
Mm, okay.
And basically like her
you
goal
can't get
is
cheap wine.
Yeah, that would be detrimental.
That'd be worse than
it would be worse than having no wine at all.
Yeah.
What she's hoping is with the commission on this next on this house, she'll be able to put some aside, you know, to have wine at the next one.
Okay.
So she's taking like a long-term view at this at the snack table. And she's laying it all out, and then she like, just like, "Oh, this is kind of nice lighting in that room." And she starts taking photos of that to update the listing. And then she turns around and jumps, and the kid's right there eating snacks.
Oh no!
And she's like, "What are you doing? You frightened me." And he's just like, "Sorry, I just wanted some of this cheese. I haven't had cheese in a while. I tried making cheese from rat milk. It didn't go well. I don't know the process. It just became a very little bit of smelly milk that I then just fed to a frog, and then the frog died.
You killed the frog with rat, spoiled rat milk?
I didn't mean to. I mean, I was going to eat the frog, so I guess I meant to kill the frog at some point. But
you eat frogs? I like frogs.
I mean, frogs are pretty good. I like frogs too.
In a different way.
But, you know, it's nice to have some cheese every now and again. Variety. I hear it's important for a growing boy. And it's just like, what? I mean, so is, like, going to school. Do you go to school? Kid's just like, nope. Just like, do you have parents? Like, are they... What happened? Like, why are you here in the swamp all alone, living at this house I'm trying to sell? And kid's just like, I mean, I live here now. I'm happy here. I don't want you to take it away from me. But, like, your family and school and all the things that a normal boy should be doing. And the boy's just like, well, I'm not normal. And then he storms out and yells squatter rights one last time. And kid's just like, Debbie's just like, I think you need to be 18 to have squatter rights be applicable. He's gone. And he ate way more than just a couple slices of cheese. I look away for 1 second, and he eats, like, half of it. Said, I need to call CPS again, get an update on the interview, and also remember to actually
let them know about this kid.
And I'll pass it to you there.
Okay, so people start coming in for the open house now. Because the house is open. And one of the couples, a well-dressed couple, comes in. They go to the snack table, and they notice that, like, half of it's gone. And they're like, oh, wow, this must be a very popular open house. And Debbie turns on the charm and is like, yep, that's right. I feel like it might go quickly, a little quicker than expected. So make sure to take a look, and if you want to put in an offer, you can... just come to me, let me know. I can give you my card. Why don't I give you my card right now in case you want to go home and think about it before contacting me. But I do encourage you to move quickly if you want the house. And don't forget that it is haunted. We are catering to people who like some thrills. And the guy's like, did the ghost eat all the cheese? Is that what happened? And Debbie laughs as well, because it's ridiculous. But it's not, because the ghost ate all the cheese. So overall, haunted house goes really well. I think there's a couple people who come in and didn't realize that the house was haunted. And Debbie told them that it was haunted, and they're like, why are you selling a haunted house? That's insane. I can't believe I drove all the way out here for this. It is a lovely neighborhood, but it's just, I'm not gonna live out here if it's haunted. So, Debbie feels like one of them might come around or not, come around. Is it, you know, they really like the house. So, that Sunday, the haunted open house was Saturday. So the next day, she calls up the Pennies and tells them, hey, we got a lot of interest, no offers yet, but I'm feeling good. So hopefully we get a couple bids, might start a bidding war. Wouldn't that be something? The Pennies are like, wow, that's great. Keep it up. You know, we look forward to hearing about any incoming offers. And I'll just pass it to you.
Okay. Monday comes along. She goes back to the office. And there's a lot of messages for her when she gets into the office. Hmm. And Stevenson's like, Debbie, come on in here. And she's confused, like, walks in and is just like, we've gotten a lot of interest in your house. And she's just like,
that's
really?
Great.
Yeah. It's like, it's not, they're not so interested as in buying the house.
Oh.
Have you heard of a popular show called Spectre Fishers?
I have not.
It's basically it's these two guys that they go to various haunted places all around the country, and they try to talk to the ghosts, and they're, you know, like it's kind of cheesy at times. They hear like a weird wind, and they're just like, did you hear that? And try to play it back, and you know they say that they hear things like it's just like they hear things like get out. I honestly think it might just be the wind, and it's just the magic of editing, you know? And it's just like, okay. Anyway, they're interested in going to the house to check out the ghost child. They really want to meet him. It's like, what do you mean she wants to meet the ghost? It's like, well, they're more interested in the ghost part than the child aspect. So, like, if you could really, like, maybe prep him or something to be a ghost, I think it would do wonders, because then, you know, that's basically free marketing for that house. Like, it's only going to help the property value if it gets on national television as a haunted house and you're trying to sell it as a haunted house. This will be, like, the certificate of authenticity that it is haunted.
This is all really exciting. I feel like I really should point out that it's just a child. It's not a ghost.
It's all about perception, Debbie.
Wait,
come on.
Where is she in this? Because, like, she keeps getting the messages. Does she think it's a real supernatural ghost? She might.
I haven't gotten the sense that she thinks that. But
okay,
then again,
well, then,
the messaging was
we'll
pretty weird.
No,
and no,
she thinks it's a regular.
And no one saw the kid.
Unusual, but not a ghost. That's where she's coming down. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she says exactly what I just said then.
And Stevens is just like, listen, like, again, a couple things. No one in the open house even saw anything about the ghost. So, like, I haven't seen the kid. Like, no one's seen the kid, Debbie. But I do think you should get Spectre Fishers to come on out. They're excited. They could be here Wednesday. You know, they're very excited.
I guess these shows don't even really need ghosts. Just have a show.
What do you say?
I'm kind of talking myself into it. God, I learned from the best.
You know, maybe this is too personal, but my wife is no longer on birth control. We're going for it.
I am so happy for you, Stevenson's.
Thanks. So happy for you to sell this house, because you know what? I bet you're going to get offers well above the asking price.
I keep saying that, and I'm sure it's bound to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Especially with Spectre Fishers.
I mean, yeah, Spectre Fishers is only going to do good things for this house. Anyway, I'm excited for you, excited for me. A lot of things are happening at this real estate agency. Anyway,
yeah.
Off you go. Sell that house. Spectre Fishers will be here Wednesday. Pass it to you.
I'm going to suggest we look at endings.
Yep.
I do still have 5 cards, though, so I feel like I'm...
I have 3 still.
Yeah, I've had a hard time playing cards here.
I've got an ending that we've used a couple times from Earth Pit.
Yeah, I had one of those as well, so I picked out another one, and it was another repeat. So when I get that, I just kind of go back to the original one. So I have one that we've used a bit, and then Another one that's fine, I guess. Not amazing, but fine.
I got one that could be interesting, but yeah, it's... There'd have to be a little bit... Some elements to the story that aren't there yet mm-hmm. for this ending to work.
So we don't know yet. Well, yep. We have a lot of cards to play anyway. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we can bring it in for a landing. Mm-hmm. A satisfying one at that.
I hope so.
So, Spectre Fishers coming to town. I'm just going to cut to Spectre Fishers. It's Wednesday now. They're in okay. there. They're doing their pre-show, like, this New Orleans swamp house is apparently haunted by a child. And there's lots of ghosts in the area. Also, so is it just a child or is it something more? Could there be perhaps alien ghosts in this place?
What planet are you from, child?
Oh, I feel like that's really not that far off from what these shows are. Have you ever seen one of these ghost shows?
I've seen a little bit, like, and yeah, that's not too far off.
Yeah, I did you hear? I watched Ancient Aliens with our buddies in Flagstaff.
No.
Yeah. This is Cliff and Kai. I'm interested in aliens, but I know that there's like no evidence. There's just nothing good out there. But I want mm-hmm. the alien nuts to be correct, so like I'm willing to like watch their stuff. So I will take credit for suggesting and getting us to watch Ancient Aliens. But man, oh man. what an awful show. It's bad. Think about how bad Ancient Aliens is and just know that it's worse than whatever you're thinking of.
Okay.
It's oh man. I feel really bad for suggesting that. It is funny to make fun of it, but man, it was like incomprehensible.
Apparently there's somewhere like a Grand Canyon episode of Ancient Aliens.
I will not be watching that. I would have been interested in watching that if I had never seen an episode, but now that I have seen an episode, I know that most of that episode is not about the Grand Canyon. We watched the time travel episode, and it was not about anything at all. There's not a coherent narrative. They're not
what
like when okay. I went into the show, I was expecting them to like have like loose evidence suggesting that like maybe there was time travel involved in aliens visiting and humans doing time travel. They I think mentioned time travel sometimes. But most of it is just really, it's legitimately incomprehensible. I don't know what their argument is. It's a mess of a show. And they reuse a lot of footage as well to kind of make it worse. Like, I think they just shoot their interviews and then everything else is stock footage and graphics.
Oh,
of varying degrees of quality, which kind of makes it worse.
No.
Yeah, some of them are stuff that I can do and some of them are stuff that looks kind of decent and... None of them look like really good, but yeah, it's all over the place. It's messy. I think you're supposed to do drugs and watch that show, and we didn't do that, so we did it wrong.
I think, Jeff, maybe you should get a job for Ancient Aliens. It sounds like
I definitely could do their graphics better than they do their graphics. We did. It would at least be consistent if I was doing the graphics. I wouldn't outsource a lot. I don't know. And we need to tell our story. We need to.
Yeah, yeah. We've gone on to quite the tangent. What is this? A Twin Peaks episode?
Yeah, we gotta stay focused here. I do love our tangents.
in our stories even. But there's this is a long. So yeah. the Spectral Fishers, they do their intro. It's not comprehensible at all. It's supposed to be about this house. It's sort of about everything, and it's also about nothing. And I'm going to say that the main host is really arrogant, like a boastful kind of guy. He's like, we're going to go in here, we're going to find some ghosts, and it's going to be the biggest thing that History 2 has ever seen. They're on History 2.
We're going to get on History 1 after this.
We're going to get on History Channel after this. And then the other host is like this... I'm going to say it's there's like a meek kind of science guy who like knows the science, but like isn't very good at voicing his opinion. He's not very assertive. So his job is to be the dissenting voice, and they intentionally got this guy that just quietly say, like, it's probably just the wind. We're probably not going to get on the History Channel. We might get downgraded
to the Discovery Channel.
What channel?
The Discovery Channel.
Yeah, whatever. I didn't want to go History 3. That seems too easy. So
yeah.
I like that Discovery would be lower than History 2 in this world. In real life, I don't think it's... I think it's above History, but...
I think in real life, Discovery is well above History.
All right. So Ghost Hunters are there. They did their intro. Now they're getting ready to go in the house. And they're setting up equipment. They have a crew, pretty small crew. It's a very cheap show. So they have, like, a camera guy and a sound guy, and then the two hosts. So four people. And, wow, that would be a real skeleton crew. I don't know if those shows are shot like that. They probably have a little bit more than that. But this show has four people. And Debbie is there, and she's feeling excited about the TV show. And is like, wow, look at this, a big Hollywood production. And yeah, I'll just pass it to you there. I think that's perfectly fine.
So the meat guy is setting up their science equipment, and the boastful guy's just like, all right, if there is a ghost on the premises, let your presence be known. And the kid's just like yells down from upstairs, leave me alone.
Squatter's rights.
Squatter's rights. And then the boastful guy's like, did you get that? And the because they're just like, it was probably just the wind.
It's probably just the wind. Oh man, this is the one time that he's wrong.
And but his face is saying like is pale because like he heard the voice too, and like that was him having a moment of cognitive dissonance. He's just like, no, that was must just been the wind. It must have just been the wind. There's no ghosts.
Ghosts aren't real.
And the guy's just like, oh, they're real, all right. We're going to go on the History Channel, baby.
He's just turning into the Crocodile Hunter. He's like, we're going to go get that.
I was like, all right.
Let's go get
Ghost. What's your name? Where are you, Ghost? Tell us your story. And the kid's just like, get out of my house. Squatter's rights. And it's just like, I don't think squatter's rights law applies to ghosts, child. Just, can you make have a form in any way? Can you come on to the camera? And I'll pass it to you because I'm not sure if I want the kid to like stay hidden or come on camera and just like be a child on camera.
He throws a dead frog out the window at the camera crew, and it lands.
Did you get that?
Yep. They're very excited about it. Like, look, he's materialized as a dead frog. The meat guy's like, it's probably just the wind.
He's broken. Doesn't know what to do. So camera guy like goes and zooms in on the frog, and boastful guy's trying to talk to the frog, and he's like, what is your name, child? And of course the frog doesn't say anything. And I think, let's see, Debbie looks up at the window and like she like whispers to like the sound guy. It's like, hey, I don't think the kid is the frog. The sound guy just assures her that they're professionals and they know what they're doing. And like after about the kid doesn't say anything else. After about 15 minutes of that, they're like, I think we got it. So the
episode, we're going to turn this into a full 45 minutes.
Yeah, they're going to turn that into 45 minutes. So a couple days later, like Stephen calls Debbie into his office and like, check out the TV spot for your episode of Spectral Fishers. Look at this.
Already?
Look.
That's me speaking as Debbie.
What's that?
That was me speaking as Debbie. Already?
Yeah, yeah, they edit pretty quick, I guess. So, I think they're really excited about this one. Look at this. They're saying it's going to be a one-hour event. I think most of their episodes are 1 hour long, but it's, you know, razzle-dazzle.
But this is an event!
Right? Razzle-dazzle. So, it looks cool, and Debbie, she gets a call on her cell phone. So it's in the room with Steven. She gets a call and someone's like, hey, I saw that episode the TV spot for Spectral Fishers. Is the house still available? I'd like to take a tour. Over to you.
And she's like, absolutely. Yeah, of course. Yeah, like when works for you. As soon as possible. I want to see this house now. But yeah, like we can go out tomorrow. How's that sound?
Come alone.
Wait, what?
I don't know. I was getting a really, like, creepy vibe. I don't think he's a murderer, but he seemed weird to me.
I don't want to come alone anymore. I was originally going to come alone because this is my job, but I kind of don't want to do that anymore. Do you mind if I bring my boss with me?
Yeah, that's fine. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
We're still on,
then.
Right?
Yep. I'm just bringing a person with me.
I'm excited to see the house. I didn't mean to put you make you feel uneasy.
I'm going to let people know. What's her name, by the way?
Simeon. Something like that. Simeon is good. I like that. I think Simeon is like a sex thing.
Okay.
And Simeon is like a monkey thing. So let's go with the monkey thing.
Simeon, I'm gonna let people know that I'm meeting you tomorrow, and I'm gonna have company, and so people will notice if I go missing.
Yeah.
Okay. See you tomorrow. Goodbye. She hangs up. Hey, Stevenson. I really need a favor. I'm showing this house to this guy, and he was real creepy on the phone. Do you mind just, like, coming with me?
I don't think I can. I'm really busy tomorrow, and I'm supposed to have sex with my wife, because we're going to try to have a kid, so. But maybe I could have sex with her in the morning, and then I could push my lunch. You know, I think I can do it. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Steven. And she leaves, and she goes back and she gets back into her office and she's getting things organized. Messages are coming in constantly. And eventually someone comes in and it's this guy. He's got a big long beard, wearing plaid. He's either hipster or a woodsman.
And that's all Simmy. I think I like Simmy as a nickname.
Oh, is it Simmy? The guy from...
Wait, okay. Were you not saying it was Simmy?
I thought she was meeting the guy. No, you're right. That works better. It's tomorrow then, and yeah, she's meeting Simmy. Steven is there.
I adjusted things.
Yeah, it's still I like it better.
You like it better though. All right, here we go.
Because like this character can have the same role as Simmy. It's just like, hey, so I'm gonna level with you guys. I don't think I could afford this house. I have a story to tell you guys.
I like stories.
Okay. Let me tell it then, Mr. Stevenson. So when I was just a little kid, my brother and I would play.
I am on the edge of my seat.
Okay. I'm glad. This is like a deeply personal story.
I get it. I'm into it. I'm totally into it. Your brother and you were playing. Okay.
Dude, we were playing in the swamps.
This is so good. This is so good.
Yeah. And I was going to have a whole story, and now I feel like I can't
do it anymore. I'll shut up.
Okay.
I just want you to know that it's really good, though.
We were playing in the swamps, he and I, and I keep thinking you're about to interrupt me now.
I'm so sorry. It's my eyes. I'm really excited. I love stories. Do you want me to turn around?
He died in the swamp. Around this area.
Oh, I don't like that story. I don't like it when people die in stories.
Yeah. And I just... He loved frogs and stuff like that.
He loved frogs. And did he see the TV spot mentioned a frog?
And I just saw the ad, and I just
thinks his brother's.
I think that ghost is my brother. And I'll pass it to you there because that was the big thing I wanted to do, introduce with the woodsman. So that could have been Simeon or a completely new character. So I like it better if it's Simeon.
Okay, so
because then it was like the come alone kind of changes. It's just like
the what.
The come alone part does change. Like it would almost make sense that character would say it.
Oh yeah, he didn't want to. Like he knew he was going to tell this story.
Yeah.
So he wanted to tell it to one person, and he just accidentally. Yeah, he sounded creepy accidentally.
Yeah.
Old Simmy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I liked that. So that adjustment I think was correct.
Aww, what an adorable little accidentally creepy guy. So we can't afford the house. Well, says Debbie, I would love to show you around. I feel terrible that your brother died. Feel just awful hearing that. I'm sick to my stomach just listening to that story. But like in an empathetic way, not like. I had like a pit in my stomach is maybe a better way to phrase it. And I maybe should point out, I personally don't think that your brother was the frog. I feel like I should just say that out loud now. Because who knows what's going to happen in this house. But okay, let's go in there. So they take a tour, and of course it's in disrepair, as was mentioned earlier. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Simi's like looks at it and he sees potential here. He sees a life for himself in this house, and a house that makes him think of his brother and makes him feel closer to his brother. So they go around all of the tour. They hear a couple little bumps and thuds, but they don't see a child. And of course they know the house is haunted. So it's like, oh, hey, look at that. That's the ghost child, / frog child. he's just going around. Sometimes he yells squatter's rights. I don't know if he's going to do that now. And he doesn't do it. So at the end of the tour, Simi is like, again, I can't get up to asking price, but I would like to make an offer right here, right now. For he gives a price that is significantly lower than asking price, and it's a real punch to Debbie's gut. She just is like, oh man, this is our only offer right now. Internally, she's like that, and she wonders if she's going to have to take this. So she tells Simi, he's like, okay, well, I'll talk to the owners, and I'll see if they want to move forward. But that's pretty. It's a low offer. And Simi's like, yeah, I know. And Steven, you know, suggests like, hey, go to your bank, see if you can get you know, a bigger loan and get a higher offer. Simi's like, my bank hates me. I don't think they're gonna accept that. But I mean, maybe I'll talk to him. We'll see what I can do. So Simi shakes their hands and he goes on his way. And Steven's like, there's no way we can accept that offer. That's way too low. We have to hold out for more. If it's not him, it's someone will come along. Everything's going to be fine. Let's just wait. Debbie's like, yeah, I know you're right. I know. It's just, I really like that guy. I don't know. He sounded creepy on the phone, but he didn't mean it. He means well, I think, that Simi. So I think we should talk to the Pennies and see what to do. Over to you.
So they get back to the office and, you know, the secretary there is just like, hey, Debbie, I got a message for you. It's like, it's about the house. Oh, yeah, what is it, another person interested in the house? It's like, no, that's from someone named Carol.
Carol! Oh, what did she say?
She said, fuck you.
What? Why did she... Did I write that letter of recommendation, or did I forget about it? I don't know what my character did. It's all your turn, Mark. Good. I'll step aside.
I'm gonna say that like she did write the letter of recommendation. It was actually really good.
Oh.
And she's gonna call Carol, just like, hi, and it's like, Child Protective Services, what's your emergency? And it's like, Carol, I got your message. I'm heartbroken. And Carol's just like, well, I'm heartbroken too. Like, I didn't get that dispatch job with 911. And I think it was your letter of recommendation. I think it sabotaged me. And just like, I thought it was a really good letter of recommendation. Like, walk me through, like, what happened, Carol? I'm sorry you didn't get the job. I know it was your dream job. She's like, well, we went into the interview. It was going really, really well. And then we decided to do a mock phone call. And the interviewer's just like, pretend it's like 911. Here we go. Calling 911. You're going to be the dispatcher in this. And pick it up and just like, 911, what is your emergency? And then yeah, the person was actually having a heart attack. It was kind of funny the way we were talking about it. It was like, I'm having a heart attack. It's like, and then I started talking about how I was really sorry and how my uncle had a heart attack. And
this is
really
mock,
scary.
This is the mock 911 call that you started talking about your uncle during?
Yeah, I mean, it was a normal phone call, you know? Like, I was just chatting. Like, what do you do on the phone?
Well, I mean, I chat, but I'm not talking to people who are having a heart attack or, like, pretending to have a heart attack for the purposes of testing whether or not I'm able to handle a situation like talking on the phone with somebody who's having a heart attack.
You were sounding just like the guy that interviewed me.
I feel like it... I don't think this was my fault. I just have to say that. I feel like you're taking it out on me in a way that is unfair.
Debbie.
Carol.
So mad at you right now. You know what? Never call this number again, even if there's a child that needs protecting.
Oh, but that reminds me. Oh.
She hangs up. I keep forgetting to
That's
call
what
CPS
I was
again.
Supposed to do today.
I mean,
well, probably good that she didn't get that job.
Yeah, I think maybe I shouldn't have written a letter of recommendation for her. Maybe I got a little bit too roped into a stranger's life in that moment, and I actually didn't know her well enough to really know if she would be good at being dispatched. Actually, now that I think about it, like, when we talked on the phone, when I called her, we never actually talked about why I called CPS. I maybe should have put that in my letter of recommendation. Then again, like, that wouldn't have been good, like, a good recommendation at all. Yeah, it was probably good she didn't get that job. Honestly, it might be bad that she has this current job. Like, how many kids aren't getting protection because the CPS phone bank is doing this? Anyway, I gotta focus on the house and the kid, and I gotta call the Pennies. She dials up the Pennies. It's like, hi. And it's like, oh, hello, how are you? And she's like, good, how are you two doing? It's like, oh, we're so good. We're on vacation. We're just here in New Orleans. Oh, New Orleans, that's not that far. Like, you could come by and see the house. I don't know. It's pretty far. Like,
the house that you own is too far for you to visit.
It's kind of hidden away, you know? We just want to be here in New Orleans, just have a good time, listen to music, enjoy the French Quarter. We're not necessarily trying to get to that house.
Well, I mean, now that you bring that up, it might be worth pointing out, like, we do have an offer from somebody, but it is below market value. And I do think a lot of the people at the open house would have put in offers if it had been closer. So we might need to adjust our expectations for how much we're going to be able to get.
What are we talking about here, Debbie?
It is an amount that is significantly lower than asking price.
I don't like the sound of that at all. That sounds like we'd get less money instead of what we wanted.
I just want to remind you, this is a house that you are unwilling to visit, even though you're in New Orleans. This is a house that you're trying to sell that needs a lot of work.
Are we going to have to get a different realtor on this, Debbie?
Nope, we're not going to have to get a different realtor. I am here to help you do whatever you need to do. If you want to say no to that offer, then that is perfectly fine with me.
Well, what other offers do we have?
We don't have any offers, so I'm kind of bluffing here.
Oh.
I really want to get this sale under my belt, and it's not going as well as I'd hoped.
the ratings for that.
This is our home, fishes. Not just some stepping stone in your career, Debbie.
I can understand how it might have come off that way. I really care about this sale. This is my first house. This is my baby. You know, it's my child, as it were.
Your child? That's weird.
Sorry, there's a lot going on. Have I told you about the swap kid? I think I have.
yeah, the ghost.
Right. Did you see that episode of Spectral Fishers? What is that show called? Spectral Fishermen?
Spectral Fishers?
Fishers, okay.
No, we missed that. We don't really watch History 2. We're more of a Nat Geo 4 household.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, I feel like their shows are more grounded.
I think that's probably fair. I'm not really familiar with what's on Nat Geo 1 through 4, but the Spectral Fishers for me personally left a little bit to be desired, cuz they didn't go in the house.
Well, listen, wait, they didn't go in the house?
No. So, you know, the host who's like really big into like, oh man, we're going to go find these ghosts. He is scared of ghosts. So when he thought there was a chance there was a ghost in the house, he didn't want to go in.
That is kind of hilarious. And we should probably text everyone.
Yeah, we probably should.
All right, but we'll think about that offer. Let us know if anything else comes.
Do you want to meet the guy? He's really sweet.
I mean, how far away would we have to drive?
I could ask if he's willing to drive to New Orleans.
That would be great. And I'm going to pass it to you.
So let's see here. I think he's going to be willing to drive to New Orleans. So they set up a meeting, a little blind date, as it were, between Simi and the Pennies. I like how those names kind of go together.
Mm-hmm. With Debbie.
Simi Penny. So it's going to be at this lovely little cafe in the French Quarter, say. Because why not? So, Debbie's there, Penny's are there, Simi is there. Steven initially wasn't going to be there. He talked himself into it. He's there now. He's like, you know what? I think it might be fun for me to be there. I really like that cafe. And I have to go into town anyway today to because I got a listing down in that area. Yeah, I'll come along. I'll ride along. And if you need any help, Debbie, I'll be there to grease the wheels and let's get this deal done. Because you know what? I initially at the house after we did the tour, I was thinking, hey, no way we can take that offer. But now I'm kind of thinking, maybe we should just take that offer and let's get you moved on to something else. You know, this house is really far away and it's kind of haunted. This guy told a really okay story that started off really well.
Took a bit of a sad turn.
But you know what? You know, sad turns are okay sometimes. So I'm just having him really like talk himself into everything.
You know what? I kind of like that story, even though it had a sad ending. Not every story needs a happy ending. I'm talking myself into liking that story.
What a ridiculous character trait. Okay, so they're at the cafe and they're meeting. Simi is there and he's doing his absolute best to not appear creepy. He he mentions that that the house reminds him of his brother, for reasons that are a little personal. He doesn't really want to get into in a large group, but you know, you can talk about it later if they get to know each other. But he doesn't really want to go into it at this cafe. He's just the house. He feels an emotional connection to the house, and he really, really hopes that they will consider his offer. And the Pennies have a decision to make. And I will pass it to you.
Should I end it here?
If you can, yeah. I have two cards left, and I think a ways to go to set up the ending that I would be going for.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
So the Pennies are looking at each other, and they look at Debbie, they look at Simeon, they look at Steven, who's weirdly doing a lot with his eyebrows right now. So then they look away from Steven, and then they look back because they need to make sure if he's still doing it or not, and then he's actually not. He stopped. And they just look at each other, and they kind of have a face that's just like, well, that was weird. And then they look back at Simeon, and then finally they look back at Debbie, and they say, all right, I think we'll take this deal. This will do. And Debbie's just like, yes, I'm going to get the paperwork started right away, and gets up and leaves like right away.
She just does not wait for the check to arrive.
And eventually Steven just like looks over and is just like, I guess I got her. You guys don't need to worry about that.
It's like, I don't want to cover her. But you know, she did just make a big deal.
It was her first sales that she ever done. At any rate, like, I should buy her lunch after her first sale. Like, this is a big deal for her. So
yeah, I think I would do it even if she was here. So
I'll get it. Yeah, talk myself. I'll buy her lunch.
Simi's like, you don't need to buy mine. No need to pay for my meal.
Who's that?
Simi.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, thanks. Good to know, Simi. I certainly didn't just buy a house with literally everything that I can muster.
I can get it. I can get my own food. Can pay for it, no problem.
I hear what you're saying, Simeon, and I appreciate that about you.
He's supposed to zig, but he's zagging. What's happening?
And eventually, like, Simeon and Steven, like, they figure that out and leave.
I think Simeon's paying for his own food. I think that's what's happening there.
I think so. I think that's how that naturally is going to end. And then all that's left are the Pennies, and they're alone at that table. And they start laughing maniacally.
Oh, dear.
And there's a flashback of those two when they first went to the house. And you know, it was a few years ago, they were younger. And they were terrorized and saw, like, a kid. They don't know where that kid came from, and that's the real reason why they never went back to that house. And in New Orleans, they met this, I guess, fortune teller who almost, like, dragged them in and told them that they were cursed and they would stay cursed until that house was lifted, or that house was sold. And finally, the curse was lifted, as had been foretold.
All right, Mark, that's the end of the story. What did you think of the kind of haunted house?
I just can't get my head wrapped around the Hallmark cards.
Yeah.
Like,
Was the kid there? How did the kid get there? If the kid wasn't there, wait, did he mail it? And also, like, slide it, who did he get to slide it under the door? Jeff, I don't get the Hallmark cards.
It was not explained. That's true. Do you think the kid is a ghost?
I like it better when he's not.
I think it is funnier if he's not a ghost, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, this person still ends up buying the house and having just a normal child who sort of reminds him of his dead brother.
One thing I love about the reveal of your ending with the owners, the Pennies, being cursed is it makes me think back to how, like, much they tried to get as much money as possible. What's a good way to say that? Like how...
Oh, how they...
Like, how they held out for as much money as possible, even though they were cursed and needed to sell this house. They were still like, we really want to get asking price on this. Like,
yeah, they do.
I don't know. I just... That tickles me.
Yeah, it is pretty funny in hindsight. I mean, they're penny pinchers than pennies.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nicely done there.
Do you have any other thoughts on...
On the kind of
haunted house?
There's a lot of just really, like, fun elements in this story. The overall premise is quite fun. The spectral fishers, what a scene. That's what this story is to me. It's just a lot of fun.
And then Simeon brings a little bit of heart to it as well.
Mark, were you annoyed at me when I was interrupting you during that story?
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But... I mean, what did you think listening back to it? Are you still annoyed? Or
when listening to it, I can hear myself getting annoyed because I'm trying to do something. But I also am aware that this is pretty funny because, like, we're so in character that, like, eventually he's just going to cave and then say what he says out of context, which is, like, his brother died. And
yeah, I very much enjoyed that scene.
Oh yeah, it's a great scene.
Yes.
Yeah. You want to hear what's happening next time?
I am so eager to hear what's happening next time. Please enlighten me.
Honestly, we have another kind of haunted house.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's a slumber party that has to face an evil fairy.
Oh my.
We play in a horror genre that we don't typically play in. And that's kind of a unique thing that I think is pretty fun.
Yes, when we were choosing stories, I remember the thing that really won me over for that one was, like, you mentioned it feels really different from all our other ones that we recorded. So, it's got that horror genre, elements of horror. It's still pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are now halfway through our season 2, so this is probably a good time for us to say, if you are enjoying the show, tell friends about it. Tell your family. Tell your realtor. Tell that ghost child who's been living in your vacation home outside New Orleans. Because maybe they would enjoy the show too. Thank you so much, and goodbye, everybody.
See you later, crocodile.